Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Going independent as the Cathaoirleach has been dropped by Fine Gael. Today also Val Dolan retires from Tuam after 53 years. We look at that on today's programme. We're speaking and joined by Sean Renane on today's programme. We're also leaving before I was pushed. A local councillor indeed quits Fianna Fáil. We'll look at the measles vaccine and give you further details on that as well. Did you get it as a child and how do you find out? We look at that. We're going motoring with Jerry Murphy. We've got major concerns indeed for rural businesses on today's programme too. There's a drum show coming to town. We look at jewellery and much more between now and 12 midday. All the comment lines are open. 086 38 33 55 3. A very good morning to you. Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Well, a couple of weeks ago we spoke about the whole debacle with Fine Gael indeed and who's going to run in the Oireann Mór Athenry district. And we do know indeed that Peter Feeney is on that ticket and others, including many others indeed. But there was a meeting held last evening and the Cathaoirleach of Galway County Council, Liam Carroll, who's been a member of Fine Gael for a long number of years, was not on that ticket and has now made a decision that he's going to go as a community candidate. He joins me on the line today. And Liam, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, and thank you for having me on.
Now, I want to deal with the Fine Gael thing first and then we'll deal with the community aspect of it, because you've been part of the community for 20 years at this stage. But why were you not on the ticket, or why were you not considered for the ticket, as you're a sitting Cathaoirleach, which is chairperson of the county council and will be indeed until the election, and will be until June this year? What has happened, or why did this happen?
Yes, indeed. I don't know. I haven't been informed as to why I'm not on the ticket. All I do know is that at a meeting of the National Executive last night, I wasn't added to the ticket. I have expressed a willingness and offered my name as a candidate for Fine Gael to run in the local elections on 7th of June, but they've decided that not to add me to the ticket. So this is the first time this has happened. I'm informed by people in Fine Gael that it's the first time that this has happened since the foundation of the party in 1932, that a sitting councillor or Cathaoirleach hasn't been nominated to run in a forthcoming election.
But you're still Cathaoirleach. Are you still a member of Fine Gael?
I'm a card-carrying member of Fine Gael. I got a letter yesterday from the National, from the General Secretary of the party, enclosing my voting ticket at a convention for the European elections in Athlone on the 24th of March. So I'm still a card-carrying member. But I will not be renewing my membership when it's up at the end of April.
Okay, and can you take me through this? I mean, had you indicated that you were going to step down as a councillor indeed, or a candidate, if they got a better candidate than your good self? Did you make that clear indeed to a committee member?
I indicated that to the strategy committee, that if they found a candidate better than that I would consider my options then. But as far as I'm concerned, they haven't got a candidate better than I. I'm not blowing up my ego here. I have had a lot of support from people in the constituency, and I'm going to read a letter very quickly to you, Keith, that I got from the constituent on the 24th of February.
Just one second, if you don't mind.
Pardon?
Give me the just from a legal point of view, give me the context of this before you read the letter, please.
Well, I'm not going to name any names.
No, but give me, from a legal point of view, I want to be very careful here. What is the context of the letter that you're...
The context of the letter is that this particular individual indicates that he is not politically... that he's a great interest in politics generally, but he's not a member of any party. But he has an interest in the Oireann Mór Athenry electoral area, as he lives in Corran Dhuill Ar Anna Down.
Okay.
And he understood that I wasn't on the Fine Gael ticket, and he asked me, have I considered going forward as an independent candidate, and indicates quite clearly that it would be a loss not to have you as a councillor. That's me.
Okay.
I am not politically motivated, he says, and generally vote for the person irrespective of party. I don't understand why you are not added to the ticket, but it is important to keep your options open as they say, would you keep all your eggs in one basket? I definitely think you should run anyway.
Okay, so, I'll come to that in a moment. But I mean, we have endeavoured this morning, indeed, from between national headquarters in Dublin and locally as well. There was one conversation with one person this morning who gave a number of numbers to John Morley, who's the producer, as to who might be in a position to enlighten us as to why you weren't put on the ticket. And just enlighten us, all we wanted to know. I mean, it's their decision, by the way, nobody else's decision. But it's their decision to do so. But I'm told this decision was made in Dublin yesterday. Some of the key people and key players were not in the country or not available last evening. So this was made in Dublin. And that's fine. That's their decision to do so. But what has happened in the meantime, what has happened in the meantime is that we have had radio silence from everybody that we called on this morning. So anyway, look, you're finished with Fine Gael now at this stage.
Well, I'm still a card-carrying member, but I'm running as a community candidate.
Okay.
My membership is up at the end of April. I will not be renewing it.
Okay. I mean, was it a big decision to decide to run? Because it's quite expensive. I mean, you're looking at between 12 and 15,000 for a campaign like this.
It was a huge decision. I've discussed it with Alison, my wife. I've discussed it with my local advisors. I've informed them of my decision. Yes, it was a big decision. I'm a community man, and I've been involved in the community for the last 35 years, in actual fact, Keith, not 20. I flew back through the night from New York on Saturday to be at the Oran Mór Parade, to do MC at the Oran Mór Parade, as I've done for the last 16 years. That's my commitment to my community, and I will continue that commitment. And I hope that my community and the community of the Athenry Oran Mór District will afford me that opportunity on the 7th of June. I won't sell my principles to anyone. I have my principles, and I have an absolutely unblemished character.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I was having a conversation with you at 8 o'clock this morning, I thought you said that very much so that you flew home just to MC the parade from New York, but you had 20 years service. You had 20 years service put in for the region of Oran Mór. That's where I got the 20 years from, not the 35 years.
All right, okay. No,
you said
no,
20 years to me.
I've been involved in Oran Mór as a member of the Development Association, Keith. And look, we go back to your time in City Tech, if you remember that.
You're going back to a new lifetime, so you're... But
I'm going back to a new lifetime, so that's as long as I've been involved in local...
That's okay, and I do appreciate that. Are you very hurt by what has happened here?
Not a bit. Disappointed, yes. But not hurt, not at all. Look, there's much more difficult things happening to people all over the world, here in Ireland, with the housing problem, with our healthcare, with a lot of other things. So, no, I'm not hurt. Disappointed, yes. Life goes on.
It does, but as Cathaoirleach of Galway County Council at this stage now, are you going to vote with the Fine Gael Pact on this, or are you just going to be that independent person? Will you, in other words, when you go in to chair the next meeting, will you be an independent councillor or still a member? You will be a member of Fine Gael, but will you vote with them?
When I go in to chair the next council meeting next Monday, I'll be chairing it as Cathaoirleach of Galway County Council. The Cathaoirleach of Galway County Council and the Cathaoirleach of any county council is an impartial member. And I work with all parties, with all members. They've all been elected democratically, and I will work with them as Cathaoirleach, and I'll be as impartial as I've been up to now.
I suppose what I'm asking here is that if there's a crucial vote between now and June, when the new council will be recalibrated and re-elected, and if there's a casting vote and you're forced to cast that vote, would you vote for or against the Fine Gael proposal?
I will give it due consideration, depending on the proposal.
I
have to be impartial as Cathaoirleach.
You're also a human being, so you're...
We're all human beings, Keith, and the way this human being has been treated by the Fine Gael party is appalling.
All right, we have calls out there, and if there's anybody listening to us today that wants to clarify the situation, and again, we reiterate here, I mean, it's the decision of the party, not of Keith Finnegan, John Morley, Galway BFM. It's the decision of the party. But the communication that you got, yesterday you got a letter confirming that you were voting in the European elections in Athlone.
No, yesterday I got a phone call.
I thought you said you got the ticket to go.
That this was going to happen last night. But I had my mind made up as a result of the letter I got from that person in Carndola and Adown, and also the support I got from cross-party members or from people who are members of many political parties or of some political parties, but also in the independently minded members who have urged me and pleaded with me not to give up at this stage, but to run because of the work I've done in the area for the last 35 years.
Again, I say to you, again, it's quite an expensive run, so it's between 12 and 15,000, depending on whether you print leaflets or posters and or otherwise. It's quite an investment, so it is, but we wish you well with it. And again,
thank you, Keith. Could I just say to you, Keith, on your retirement, which is coming up on the 12th of April, could I just wish you long happiness, long life, the best of health, and thank you for everything you've done for the people of Galway down through the years as a host of a very, very important radio programme, giving the message across to the people of the county. It's most important that we have local radio, and I just wish you and Joan well in your retirement. She'll have you back. And thank you very much for your commitment to the people of Galway.
No problem. Cathaoirleach, Liam Carroll, thank you for joining us today. Your thoughts and comments, by the way, on that and more to 086 38 33 55 3. That's 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us. And if any of the people who have a missed call from John Morley or myself this morning want to contribute to the programme, you can do so straight away by calling us on 091-770-0077. Up next, by the way, Val Dolan of Valentine's Barbershop closes after 53 years in business. A very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. The comment lines are open if you want to get through to us today. Keith, it's an absolute disgrace what happened to Liam. He's an upstanding gentleman, so he is. Keith, you shouldn't be asking how anyone is going to vote. It's very disrespectful. Who do they ask is going to vote what? And I'm a resident living in Oranmore, and I'm not sorry to see the back of Liam Carroll, this caller said. That's your professional opinion, and you can. And then there's others coming in there that, in relation to Fine Gael, that legally I can't read either. Anyway, let's move on today because I have the wonderful Val Dolan joining me the ad this morning as well. And Val has had Valentine's Barbershop, which closed indeed last weekend after 53 years in business. And he sits up to this morning. Morning to you, Val.
Morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. 53 years cutting hair.
Long time.
Talk to me, how did it all start?
It all started, I'd say, back in about 1968. I was in hospital for a good few months, actually. I'd say about 12 months. I had rheumatic fever. I was only about 9 years old. And I spent 2 years, I'd say, in the regional hospital down here at the time.
The fever hospital.
Fever hospital, yeah. And when I came out, it's not like today, kind of, if you miss so much time from school, you can go back and do help and everything. I take it, help in the school, media teacher, don't I? There's none of that at that time. You were put back straight into the class that you finished up school. And so I was put back into sixth class. So I missed fourth and fifth. And I wasn't able to manage it. And I just said, no, not going to school. I wouldn't go to school. And that was it.
And what was the reaction at home when you said that?
Well, they felt sorry for me because there was no help there at the time.
Yeah.
You know.
And they were different times, is that?
Oh, they were different times, yeah. Oh, they were way different times than now. Mm. Now you wouldn't get away with it. Parents wouldn't get away with keeping me at home, I know it.
Yeah.
So it was different times.
And then when did the grow for the hairdressing then?
Well, the grow only came for the hairdressing. My aunt and uncle lived in Shantala, and their son, Tom Nally, I'm sure a lot of your listeners
know him well.
Very, very well. Tom at the time was barbering in Nestor's in High Street. So Tom said to me, would you like to go barbering? He said, the chap next door to me, Reggie Healy. Yeah. Mr. Reggie. Reggie's looking for a young lad to serve his time. And I said, yeah, why not? I said, So Tom said, I'll set up an interview for you and see how it goes. And he did. And I trained there for a year and a half with Richie, and then I went to the Grafton with Richie's father, Con Healy, and Willie Horrigan, and waited there for another year or two. And then I decided it's time to go. So I headed off to London. As a 16-year-old, I stayed with my aunt and uncle in Pinge Road in London, Croydon, and went from there to, got a job in Beckenham, Kent, and I went to the Morris School of Hear Singing at night time up in Tottenham Court Road.
Wow.
So they were long days, leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning and leave Tottenham Court Road at 10 o'clock at night back to Croydon again.
And what did that education, you know, bring to the table with you? Did it finesse your style?
It did. When I left going to England, it was like now the short hair, it was all short back and sides. When I went to London, it was getting longer and longer and longer. And then I came home after that and I said, look what I said, I may as well open the place myself. And I think the first time I ever stood in tune was the day I went in looking for a shop. And Dr. Merson Tom McNamara, neighbour, butcher across the road from me, Tom said, there's a lady across the street there and she's a little champion to rent. So I went over, had a look, and father and myself didn't know much about property or anything like that. So I took the shop.
And were you a native of Tuam then, were you?
No, Abinachmoy.
Abinachmoy. So you're kind of midway between Shantala and Tuam then at that stage.
Yes.
As the crow flies.
Yeah.
And is that then where Valentine's
started? That's where Valentine's started. I had to get equipment in, so I knew a place in London that I could get two chairs, barber chairs, two right barber chairs at the time, and shipped them home to Dublin, and not thinking, how would I get them from Dublin to Tuam? So a good neighbour of ours home in Abinachmoy, Danny O'Neill, Lord of Mercy, if you know Marion Broderick, his daughter.
Yeah.
He decided he'd go to Dublin himself, my father, and click the two chairs. So I took them about 4 hours to go up, but I think it took them about 6.5 to come home. There was a couple of pit stops on the way home.
Necessary.
I had them two chairs up till the weekend. I moved them out of the shop at the weekend.
Wow. Where are they now? Did you bring them home?
Well, I have them at home, yeah. My brother in Lahore, he's a barber shop in Lahore, took one of them.
Wow. It's been good to you, though, for 53 years.
Sure, it's been brilliant to me altogether. Brilliant.
And was it a big decision to stop?
It was, yeah, it was. It's come with the last 2 years. Health wasn't great and doctors was advising me to slow down, and yet my wife was advising me to slow down and my brothers were bad me to slow down, and I said, look,
now's the time.
Time to go, yeah.
But you're right to go out like that while you still have the health to enjoy your daughters and grandchildren.
Ah, yeah, sure. Look what I have. There's 8 of us in the family. And 6 of us are hairdressers. So Tommy is in Lahore, Jimmy is in Claremorris, Porrick is in Westport, Paul is here in Galway, and my sister Della is across the road from me in Tuam. I could say one thing about Della, thanks to Della, that she's kept me going over the last 10 years with all the fruit I've ate. Every single day there's a bowl of fruit coming over to me from Della, and without her I'd say that I'd be gone a couple of years ago.
Because it's I often, when I go to get your hair cut, like once the people keep coming, it's very hard to go out and take a break and say, I'll be back now at 2 o'clock.
No, it's impossible. You know, it's very, very hard. You know, I would say the first 20 years that I worked in the shopping in Tuam, I didn't even have a toilet in it. I was running out the door, running down to the Imperial Hotel at the time. We just hadn't got it, and we managed, though. I wouldn't do it now.
But isn't it great memories to have?
Ah, yeah, it's just fantastic altogether. Yeah. Some memories in the shop there, kind of.
Could you ever quantify the amount of heads that you cut?
No. Revenue commissioners might be listening now. I've another brother, Dan Heave, and a sister, Mary, and Gabriel and Crockwell. They didn't go into the Harrison. They had a bit more education than we had. Mm. They had a bit of cop on this. Said, I'm going to take an easier job than this.
But didn't you? You made a living out of it?
Oh, I did. I made a good living out of it. And the memories I have, kind of, like, when I started first, like, it's clock turns, it keeps going. And we used to work until 10 o'clock on Saturday night. But then when we weren't finished then, we'd have a game of cards. There's a few there every Saturday night. There's Johnny Ryan, Tom Lane, Jerry Cohen and myself. And Della we always given out to us. She wanted to go home. Della worked with me for the first 5 or 6 years in the shop.
Wow.
She was doing ladies there. And actually one or two marriages came out of it because one or two of the lads that was in getting their hair done met one or two girls that was getting their hair done or waiting for the mother to get their hair done.
So you were matchmakers?
Oh, yeah.
The two of you from there. Yeah. What it strikes me is that there's always great fun.
It's great.
Banter.
Great, yeah. And I've been involved in football a lot over the years, and like come back to the 98 football team, all that team used to come into me for haircuts. Mm. I used to give them all a free haircut for their championship. Their championship debut, yeah. Uh-huh. Johnny Mahoney's been very good to me. I got a lovely text from Johnny Mahoney there the other day.
Good.
It was fabulous.
A gentleman as well.
Oh, a total gentleman, John. Uh-huh. Yeah, total.
Gentleman. So go back to when you were starting, how much would a haircut have been roughly?
About 1 and 6 pence or something like that.
And what were you charging before you closed the doors?
15 euros.
Wow.
You know, cheapest haircut in town.
It certainly was, yeah. And did you ever get a difficult customer?
Oh, yes.
Don't name names, no, but you'd come across.
Oh, we had a few. We had a few. But just take it with a pinch of salt when they're going out the door, you say, because he's not happy with what he got. I know, no matter what you do to him, he wasn't going to be happy.
Yeah.
So you couldn't satisfy everyone.
Mm. But you wouldn't take it personal.
I know, no, but the good outweighs the bad big time.
Mm-hmm. No. And come here to me, I'm talking to Val Dolan from Valentine's Barbershop, which closed recently after 53 years in business. How's the health now? Are you looking? Are you
mine? I am just after coming from, don't mind saying it here, Blanet Murta, my cardiologist, and she has passed me fit for another few years, so it's all good.
She's passed you fit, you're solid to go, so yeah. And during the barber times, did you get to go on holidays?
Not a lot, no.
So no. Will you travel now yourself in Dillon?
Oh, will you? But I was lucky enough now to have a girl, Monica Castle. She's been with me with the last 35 years. And she's well able to take over the shop. She has taken it over. She looked after it during my illness and everything over the last few years. And she's ripped me up to right up to the day I closed. Mm. And I have to thank her for 35 years of brilliant service.
God bless her. God bless her. So you had help as well.
Yeah. And then with my own family at home, kind of, Ness, my wife, and three girls, Suzanne, Caroline, and Valerie. And now I have three grandkids, Keen, Kayla, and Leisha, and my son-in-law, Matthew Monaghan. And, you know, it's every single day now, it's football, camogie, soccer, some place to go with them.
You'll be busier now than you were?
Oh, I'll be busy with them, yeah. I'll be busy with them.
Listen, well done to you. Thanks for calling in. It's time to take a step back, enjoy the three grandchildren, enjoy the three daughters, and let yourself and your wife maybe get a bit of travel in. Maybe you don't like travel either.
Oh, I do. I'm going to Clare next Sunday for the football match. I love to go with footballers.
And you bring your wife down?
Oh, yeah. And the grandkids. Oh, yeah.
Will you come back the same day?
No, we'll stay for 2 days.
Down there, yeah.
Kids are on holidays next week, Easter holidays. So.
Alice, you're very good to come in, and just mind the health, because now life is for living. And for a barber that's been 53 years in the business, you have a fine head of hair. How did you hold on to it?
Not looking after it.
A fine head of Silver hair,
yeah.
It's not unlike my own colour now, so it isn't. So maybe.
Oh, don't worry, my grandkids just tell me often enough what colour it is.
Oh, white, granddad.
Oh, yeah.
White.
Oh, yeah.
Val Dolan, thanks for popping into us today, and congratulations. 53 years in business, in the industry indeed, was a big achievement, so well done to you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks to you for joining us. It's a huge achievement, so it is. Keith, you have an absolute legend of a gentleman with you this morning. The best of luck to the great Val Dolan. Proud to call him a great friend. That comes from Danny Corbett this morning as well. Now, a lovely story has come our way, by the way, about Sean Renan. Birdsong film screening is taking place in the Eye Cinema. And basically, it's taking place on the 24th of March. We'll give you details of it. But Sean has gone around the country with his partner, indeed, Alba, and recording as many birds as possible and their sounds as well. But he joins me on the line today. Sean, morning to you.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. I have a fascination with the same... I have the Merlin app on my phone, and when I hear a different bird, I just love to catch it from there. It's a lovely pastime, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. I love it anyway. It's something I've been doing since I was in the pram, like, you know. So, I need to do it every day.
And back then, now I'm not saying that you're old, but back then, how would you have identified the birds? Now we have the Merlin app and other apps that are there that you can identify the singing or the tweeting of the birds. Back then, how could you identify them?
Well, I was lucky in that my father and my grandfather were very much into birds, and they knew all of the common birds, the garden birds and the birds that you'd find out in the woodlands and whatnot. And When I was about 2 or 3 years of age, my father would bring me out to the local nature reserve in Cove, Koskinny, and he would imitate the sounds of birds he was hearing, and then he'd ask me to tell him what they were. And then I kind of learned organically in that way. And then I would watch birds and I would wait for them to call, so then I would get a visual connection and I would learn really quickly that way.
And could your father mimic them? He could.
Yeah, I mean, just the... You know, the basic sounds like a wood pigeon, and this is when I was very young. You know, that was just my introduction. Yeah.
And would you know them by sound now, would you?
Oh, yeah. I know every bird by sound in Ireland at this point. I need to for my work as well. So, like, apart from sound recording birds, I do bird surveys where I'll have to go in and figure out what bird species are using a given site, you know. For example, if there was some large scale construction to go in there, it's mandatory that you have to do bird surveys to make sure that you're not going to cause harm to any sensitive species or whatnot.
And do you have a favourite bird?
Oh, it's a hard question. I love them all, but I suppose my favourite one now is white throat, and white throat is the renowned mimic. It's like a sponge, so they soak up the sounds of their environment. But because of the fact that they're migratory and they'll winter in Senegal, they will also bring back sounds from Senegal to our shores. So even in Galway, when they come back now in May, well, late April, May, they will be singing sounds that they heard in Senegal, and they'll be singing sounds that they heard in the Mediterranean as they migrated up, back up through. So I said before that it's like stamps on a passport, literally. You know, it's a window into the life of this bird.
Yeah. I love the sound of the robin, and I also love the sound of the cuckoo when he arrives in April. I love the sound of the cuckoo. Yeah. But then when you look into the cuckoo, he's not the nicest person in the pack, like.
Yeah, they've an interesting niche, but sure, look, that's how they get by.
But these mornings, I mean, because it's bright so early in the morning, and I'm out and about so early in the morning, I mean, the cacophony of sounds that we're getting in the evening the morning time, I mean, an orchestra couldn't write it.
Yeah, you can't replace it. It's amazing. So it's really kicking off now. The next few weeks, it's going to become even more interesting and varied because of the fact that birds which have overwintered in Africa and southern Spain will be coming back. So we'll have even more voices in the mix, you know. But it'll also start a lot earlier, so it'll mean I'll have to be getting up at 3:30 in the morning to get out for it. Like, but it's worth it.
When it's bright and when it's not cold and it's not rainy and you see the blue skies in Galway today, I mean, you jump out of the bed just to see it because it's such such a magical image. So it is from there.
Talk great, to me, and it's a great way to start your day. You know, it's a lovely.
Talk to me about calming way to start you're bringing the film to Galway on the 24th into the Ice Cinema. So you are there. It's called Birdsong.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. So the film has, you know, it's captured the last, say, year and a half, 2 years of the journey to sound record every bird in Ireland. It was really challenging the last year, especially because of the fact that obviously when you start out, it's very easy to sound record new birds, you know, the likes of every crow and wood pigeon and blue tit and so on.
Yeah.
But as time goes by, you're left with the more difficult species. So the species that are really rare, the species that are really silent, really elusive, or all of the above. You know, for example, golden eagle was a real, real challenge. So rare, they can cover enormous ground and they're also very silent. We had the crew with us for those challenges at the end, and they captured some really, really beautiful stuff. I only saw it myself in the reveal at the Dublin International Film Festival, and it really moved me. Maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I was crying. Like, you know, it was just so stunning what they've done. Everyone on the team is so dedicated to what they do. And when I would get up in the mornings when we were filming, I would think that I'd be up early to sound record the dawn chorus, but they'd already be up getting shots of the moon and silhouetted birds flying past the moon. Wow. and the sunrise, and like the cinematography itself is so stunning. And to hear it in the cinema as well with the sound and the surround sound system is just really, really powerful.
So it's showing the Ice Cinema. It's Sunday, if my maths are right, Sunday is the 24th, isn't it?
Sunday, let me double check there. Sunday the 24th at 6 p.m. So there's still some tickets left for that.
And how long will it run? How long is the production?
It's 52 minutes, 52 minutes in length.
It's nothing, so 52 minutes. And will you be in attendance yourself?
I will, and we'll do a question and answer afterwards. Al will be there as well, and the whole team will be there. It's a beautiful piece, and it's, you know, there's a powerful conservation message in there. 63% of our birds are at risk, some risk of extinction now, so we look at those issues.
Good.
And it's also, you know, there's also a very human element to it, because of, you know, it can be quite fly in the wall at times, and it's often very funny, and at moments sad, and at other moments just beautiful. So
I look forward to seeing it. But listen, thank you for joining us today. And again, if you want to get further details, go to the iCinema website and get further details. That's at 6 p.m. This coming Sunday, indeed, is 52 minutes long. And go along. And if you have a fascination, indeed, with the bird population in our skies, feel free to go along. Quick commercial break. We're looking at companies and businesses in Galway, and they're being strangled by rates. That and more next. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Thousands of small businesses and their owners across the county have in the past 3 days received a new rates demand for 2024 from Galway County Council. And my next guest has been avalanched by phone calls of distressed family-run rate-paying businesses right across Galway. And Councillor Joe Sheridan joins me on the line. Joe, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith, and top of the morning to you.
Thanks
all
for joining us. Can I just clarify, is this because of the re-evaluation? And if so, did they engage with the re-evaluation of their premises?
Well, look, for your listeners, Keith, there has been a process upon which a re-evaluation has happened.
And it's taken over the last long number of years, so it has. But the people in question, did they know that it was going to have this impact on them?
In a lot of cases, no.
And did they engage in the process?
A lot of them would not have, Keith. And this is where...
That's the key problem then, Joe.
There is, and it's not just for publicans, it's for shopkeepers, hairdressers across the county. But, Keith, what we have here is an issue upon which small businesses will close across Galway County. Now, some of these people, it's not of their own doing. Some of them had not received correspondence from the Revel program. Mm. So there is an anomaly here that state generated, not ratepayer generated. And in some cases, Keith, I have had two people, I'll give you two examples. They're from two different settlement types. one a village and one a larger town in North Galway. And this is across Galway County, Keith. One has gone from €840 to €6,800. The other from €900 to €6,200. So these are 7- and 8-fold increments,
yeah,
which will in fact lead to the closing of these businesses down the road.
Now, there is an appeals process, without scaremongering people fully. There is an appeals process that they can engage with. Now, it can be kind of cumbersome as well, but maybe collectively a gang of them could get together and get involved in this appeals process.
Just for clarity purposes, Keith, the appeals process is open to people whom were involved in the process. The process has now closed, and this is another anomaly of the system. The system generates an issue, and then those that are caught in the anomaly are unable to access what is fairness within the system in adjudication, Keith. Look, I'll give you an example myself. I'm involved in an appeal, as probably are many businesses across Galway. And that process has started since the final certificates were issued last September. And the process will not adjudicate until well into 2024. So in my case, my rates will have doubled, and I'm going to fight that tooth and nail, as will other businesses. But those that were not in the process are being left outside in the cold. And that's where the problem is here. And there's no one standing up within the state to solve this problem, Keith. They've been left out. You have to pay your own way now to get a reassessment. You get on to our own people in Galway County Council, let's say, and they do not have the power to adjudicate over it.
Okay,
they don't have the power of re-evaluation to correct the mistakes of a process that has happened within 7 counties, of which Galway is one, Keith.
Well, what they need to do is open that can of worms, open it up again, let the people in on the process, because, I mean, rather than closing businesses, we should be opening businesses. And some people can't just afford to pay the fees that you've outlined to us there. So somebody somewhere, some minister somewhere with the power in this and has the manifesto to do so, needs to open this up for the 7 counties in question, let the appeal process take place and see where they go from there.
Absolutely, Keith. And that's what we're looking for. I've instructed our members to hold off paying their rates, Keith, until we get a fair answer and something that can... Because somebody has got to call out the system and speak for those that don't have a voice.
But because, just be careful,
we have a new
be careful
of,
Joe, though, because I mean, they could end up in court. I mean, if they don't pay them, there could be a court action against them and they could be taken to court and there could be a judgment taken against them. So just be careful, perhaps, the way that this has been formed now.
Well, this is a voluntary system to allow time, Tom. Keith, we're not putting a gun to the government. I'm not putting a gun to the government's head, but there is an onus on the government and on our local authorities to help people within their jurisdiction.
Absolutely.
And there is no one there to help, Keith. That's the problem here. Well, there has been a lack of clear thinking on this job, as we've seen from an awful lot of new regulations that are being pumped down the system. We've got into a new system of top-end management in Ireland, upon which the logic and that the workings of programmes on the ground are not either being heard or they're definitely not being adjudicated on and integrated to new systems. We have a new cost of doing business grant. Now, people think that this is a waiver of sort for rates. It is not, in fact, that.
Okay.
It is a way of trying to give a minuscule part back to what the cost of business is doing for, and also for your listeners, Keith.
I have to leave it at that for today, Joe. But we will come back to it again. But it is something, and we will get back to it indeed later in the week. But if somebody has a solution to this, would you please make contact with us to comments at galwaybfm.ie. Councillor Joe Sheridan, thank you for joining us.